I'm going to come down here where I can talk to you. Thank you, Jesus. And usually, normally, more times than not, we receive the evening offering right at this place, but not tonight. And if we receive it at all, we'll receive it somewhere between now and midnight. Wherever the Lord says. When I was talking to the Lord about this afternoon, and I was inquiring of Him about the offering, and the instructions that I received were this. The things that He will speak to us tonight and reveal and open our understanding to will change the way we think about everything. And it will make a difference in the way we see and hear concerning the offering and the way we approach everything in life. Now, a lot of these things you already know. And actually, we know more than we think we know, because the Holy Ghost is in us. And He's not trying to withhold from you. Jesus didn't say when the Spirit of truth has come, He'll do His best to hide the Word from you and give you a big prize if you could find a little of it. No, you've been talking to religious people if that's what you think. No, Jesus said when the Spirit of truth has come, He'll not speak of Himself, but what He hears, that shall He also speak. He will glorify Me. And He will show you things to come. And He will take what is Mine and show it unto you. Now listen. And all that the Father has is Mine. And I say again. Now Jesus is going to say something twice. You better be listening. I say again, He will take what's Mine and show it unto you. Now, let me back up one notch. Well, some of you ain't figured out yet where to shout. And some of you black folks need to help me, you understand? White folks don't know how to act in church. Now, come on. Now, listen to what Jesus said. He'll glorify Me. He will show you things to come. He will take what is Mine and show it unto you. And all that the Father has is Mine. And I say again, He'll take what's Mine and show it to you. Sixteenth chapter of John. Now you have the right then to follow Jesus, and when you read and hear Him say, I only say what I hear My Father say, and I only do what I see My Father do. Well, yeah, Brother Copeland, but that's Jesus. Well, the same Jesus said the Holy Ghost will take what's Mine and show it unto you. And He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He hears, that shall He also speak. Well, I don't say except what I hear My Father say. Amen. That cut out just about all you talk. All but the good part. Amen. So we have the same pattern as Jesus. Same Holy Spirit. Same calling. I don't preach myself ready. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I can tell you right now, we're going to have a good time in here, brother. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, open your Bibles with me to two places tonight. One, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. And the other, please, in Matthew chapter 6. And let's begin with Matthew 6. And let's begin reading with the 24th verse. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart.
I open my mind
to receive revelation from heaven. Words that move heaven on the earth. I repent if I have aught against any. And I forgive.
I am a forgiver,
not a condemner. And I receive your forgiveness tonight. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now do that. Give the Lord thanks. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise or think little to nothing of, have no respect or honor at all for the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can say that like this. You cannot serve God and Babylon. You cannot serve the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Now, in times past, people have singled out money. You can't serve God and money. Well, that's true, but there's more to it than that. Money is a part of the world system. Amen. Amen. So there are two systems in the earth. One is represented by the fall of Adam. The other is represented by the resurrection of Jesus. You have the fallen Adam and the resurrected Adam, the second and last Adam, because this one ain't gonna fall. You understand? Now, though, that's the only two systems on earth. One of them in Scripture is referred to as the world, and it's not synonymous with the earth. That's two different references. And so many times people don't understand that and get it all balled up together. But you won't anymore after tonight, all right? Amen. Jesus said, go into all the world. He wasn't talking about just go all over the earth. Well, it entails going all over the earth, but he wasn't referring to the earth. He was referring to the system, the Babylonian system of commerce. The kingdom of darkness. Now, I'll tell you what the earmark of that kingdom is. It marks every government. Listen now. Man trying to meet his own needs without God. Now that's every socialistic form of government in existence. Socialistic meaning society trying to take care of itself. Any government that could supply everything for you, any government that had the power to take care of everything for you can take everything away from you. Now, in the first place, there ain't no government that can take care of everybody. There ain't no government to take care of anybody. You know why? Because they have to get it off you. Yes. That's right. Governments don't make money. That's right. They take money. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this a marvelous idea? Let's take all the money away from everybody and turn around and give it back out. After we keep about two-thirds of it. No. Now, that's men's ideas, and men are influenced by Satan. And men can't do it. They can't manage it. Now, all of that, I don't care whether it's a monarchy or socialism or communism or any of those things, it comes under the heading of Babylon. Man trying to meet his own needs without God. The kingdom of darkness. Now, over here on the other side is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of light. And that kingdom is represented by the resurrected Lord of glory. Now, in that kingdom, we have been served, notice, promise, covenant indictment, guarantees from our Creator, God. I'm not talking about the Constitution of the United States. And I'm not preaching that to you right now, but thank God the Constitution of the United States recognizes that. Amen. That our rights come from God, not from the government. And anytime anybody, I don't care where they're from, come up with a second bill of rights of what the government gonna give you, run. Because the government ain't never give anything to anybody. Whoa. No. Now, why? Well, they can't. They're not God. So, in this kingdom, we have been given covenant blood-bought promise to supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. Amen. So, that if we identify with the resurrected Lord Jesus, if we identify with Him, then we become part of the supply for that other kingdom. That's our job. Our job is to represent the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of supply, the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of healing, the kingdom of salvation, the kingdom of the goodness and the wonders of heaven in this broken earth. We represent that kingdom. Amen. And we represent it to this kingdom of fallen darkness as a witness. We're not supposed to be witness of wealth and abundance. We are supposed to be witnesses with wealth and abundance. It's not just Jesus that's rich. We are His body. We are His people. We are the subjects of this kingdom, praise God. And in Him, all is available. And we're supposed to be walking in that as representatives of the resurrection, because we've been raised up together to sit together with Him in heavenly places. We're supposed to be the arm and distributors of that supply. Amen. But it hadn't been that way, has it? Well, what's been wrong here? I mean, here we are, part of the kingdom of God, living in the same poverty as Babylon. Some ain't right. Well, Brother Copeland, yeah, but you see, God just intended for us to get that after we die and go to heaven. Oh, thank God for the sweet by and by. What about the rotten here and now? If it don't work here, thank God for heaven. But let me ask you something, Brother Robert. Mm-hmm. When you get to heaven, what are you going to do with your armor?
Don't need it. Yeah.
What do you need with this full armor of God? But now you don't work till you get to heaven, see? Wherewith we shall be able to quench all. Here you clanking up and down them golden streets with all that armor on. Where's the devil? I'm going to show him what. He ain't never going to be back.
That's right.
No. You could have left your sword and your breastplate at the gate. Amen. You didn't need that there. You need it here. And the full armor of God works here.
Amen.
Amen. Exceeding abundantly beyond all you can ask or think. Now. Right now. We represent this kingdom. We live in this kingdom. Now, not after you die and go to heaven. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not in this kingdom, when you die and go, you ain't going to heaven. You have to be in this kingdom before you die. So now, are you interested?
Yes.
Amen.
I have in my possession this book. Oh, and it's got wonderful secrets and insights. Oh, I have discovered a book written thousands of years ago. Amen. And it says, no man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Babylon. You can't serve light and darkness. You can't serve righteousness and unrighteousness. You can't. Therefore, I say unto you. Now, you notice, once Jesus said that, he never referred to mammon anymore. He just figured you had sense enough. If you're going to serve, you find out you can't serve but one, you'll choose God. Amen. Now, some people struggle with that. But, you know, Jesus figured, well, anybody finds out you can serve God surely doesn't have anything more to think about the world. No man can serve two masters, okay? Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than clothes. There's more to it than that. So, which one will you choose? Now, what we're about to see here, this is big. It is big with God. Now, if it's big with Him, it's really big with us. Let's go over to the book of Deuteronomy. Don't lose your place there in the book of Matthew. We'll be back by there sometime in the next 2 days. I don't know, maybe tonight, you know, may not. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Now, who's the I here? Huh? Well, there's six people in here that know. Could it be one of the reasons you're having a difficult time is you're slow to respond? Brother Copeland, you picking on me? Uh-huh. That's my job, Bubba. Amen. God gets on me and I get on you. That's just the name of the game. Well, you just always stepping on my toes. You got them out there. And I'm going to walk all over them. After all, God walked all over mine earlier, and I get to come in here and walk all over yours. Amen. Oh, yeah. Now, listen to me now. God is speaking, right?
Yes.
So now notice this. I call. Now, that means God has done something. Huh? He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I, God, have already set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life. I have made my choice. I choose you. I have made my choice. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now you do something.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're not waiting on God to do something, are we?
No.
Now notice what he said. Therefore, choose. Who is understood here? You. Therefore, you choose. Now notice how many times this comes up. Therefore, you choose life that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey His voice, and that you may cleave unto Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and you may dwell in the land which the Lord has promised. Glory to God. It is obvious in these scriptures that God has us on His mind. And you know, He never changes. This is God's perfect will for all men for all time.
Amen.
He never changes. People need to change. But He doesn't even ask us to change by ourselves. He'll help us change. Let me show you something here. Cleave unto Him. Make your choice and hang on. For He is your life. And He is the length of your days. God has been dealing with Glory and me, and as most of you know, for several years now, on choosing to live 120 years. I don't care nothing about living here 120 years. I don't like this place much. And you, I'm telling you, when you get involved with God and you've seen things about heaven and you have things in your spirit and you know things about God, and the closer and the more you know about Him, the less you think of this jerky place. But He loves it. I don't really know why, but God, that's His problem. God so loved the world, and I was part of that world. Oh, thank God. Well, I'm glad He did. Amen. Now, think about this, though. Then why do I choose to live to be 120? Because that's what He said. The days of man shall be 120 years. Amen. My brother Copeland, what about the 70? Well, what about it? That was spoken to a disobedient people that all died in the desert before they were 80. Right. I don't care if they were only 35 and strong. Nobody over 20 was getting out of that desert alive. Am I right, or I just make this up? Do you remember in the book of Numbers, the Bible said, and your carcasses will fall in the desert. Had nothing to do with their health. It had to do with what God said. And when He said it, there ain't no amount of vitamins gonna get you by once God said it. Now that was really not a curse, it was a blessing, because if He hadn't stopped it where He did, nobody'd have got out of there without totally annihilating the nation of Israel because of the doubt, the unbelief, and disobedience. You understand? All right, now follow this on. They said, you read it in the 90th Psalm, that's where it comes up there, and God said this to a disobedient people in the desert, 70, if by strength, 80, 70 or 80, but nobody is going to live any over that. So He just put a cap on it for that particular group. Now, out of misunderstanding and religious lies of the devil and religious correctness, then out of that came a general acceptance of that, and people have imposed upon themselves short life. And if you'll read that psalm, it states in there that our time has been cut to brevity, or this is a brief time. They didn't consider living 70, 80 years as being a long time. They consider, oh no, He's cut our life off. Their ancestors lived to be 200-300 years old. So they weren't excited about our 70 or 80 years. So now, when you consider this now, listen. You remember what happened when Joseph took his dad in to meet Pharaoh? And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? And he apologized for only being 135. Now, and he was very apologetic about it. Now, why would he apologize for that? I mean, Pharaoh didn't know the difference. I mean, why apologize to him? He was under conviction for it. He said, I have failed to live out my life like my ancestors. And I've only made it 135 years. Think of that. Isn't that amazing? He was under conviction over not living any longer than that. Now, this is an attitude that we need to pick back up on, because I don't care if the rapture comes in the next 5 years. That's not our business. Our business is to be ready for the rapture. I don't care if it comes in 5 years, 5 minutes, or 50 years, or whenever it is. That ain't my business. I'm not looking the rapture's going to come next year. Oh, well, we can take it easy for the next 18 months then. That's not our business. Now, what is our business is this. God said, Genesis 6:3, the days of man shall be 120 years. That means he needs people of faith to live by faith until they're 120. Yes. He needs that. That's the reason he said it. Well, I just can't understand how anybody... Yeah, you do. You just didn't know it. Told you knew things you didn't know you knew. And this falls in right here now. Living to be 120 years is not the point tonight, but the way you live to be 120 is. Now notice this. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cleave unto Him, for He is your life and the length of your days. He's the length of your day. You don't have to figure out how to live to be 120. You don't have to engineer that. You don't have to figure all of this out. You cleave unto Him. He's your 120. Amen. He is your life. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So see, I'm only 74. Woo, glory to God. I got 46, 7 more years, however long it is. I'm just a little over middle age. When on the other hand, to tell you the truth, I would be thrilled to go tonight. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, glory be to God. And to be with Him is far better.
Glory.
But He said that He needed me here for 120, so 120 it is.
Amen.
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 The anointings that God needs. You don't get all the anointing at once. I was anointed of God the first year I was in this ministry. Between 30 and 31 years old, I was anointed of God. I knew I was anointed of God. It's strong in my life. But there are anointings in my life now I never heard of when I was 30. Didn't know they were available. I wouldn't have known what to do with them if I'd had them. You can't put a 60-year-old head on a 30-year-old man. No more than you can put a 30-year-old head on a 12-year-old man. It don't work like that. Now, there are some 12 and 20-year-old men that think it worked like that.
Yeah.
But they're the dumbest of all. Yeah. Amen. No, I'm just messing with you, meathead. Now, that's scriptural. I can call you meathead anytime I want. Oh, sure. You've heard of carnal-minded. Did it ever occur to you what the word carnal means? It comes from cadaverous, meat-eater, meathead. Ta-da! I rest my case. Glory to God. Nah, I'm just messing around with you. Now, there are anointings for people who live by faith that come, say, from 90 to 100. How many of those does God have in the earth today? There may be some 95-year-old people, but not all of them living by faith. You can live to be 100 years old just in the natural, just eating right and taking care of your body. You may be a 100-year-old fool. But now, living by faith till you become 100 is another thing. Now, I know I am personally acquainted with more than one that live by faith and got there by their faith. Dad Clark, praise God's going on 109. And just as straight and strong. And you say, how are you, Dad Clark? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Preach Jesus. Preach the redemption. Now, he just preaches wherever he goes. You just ask him something. How are you? Preach Jesus. Well, what about the anointing that comes from 110 to 120? It's not in the earth. God doesn't have the advantage of that. Well, why don't he just make somebody live? If he had to just make them live that long, they wouldn't have any faith either. He wouldn't have anything. Except some mad old man that's lived 120 years ain't got no idea why. Amen. So, you see, that's the reason why if we cleave to him, you can't cleave to him without cleaving to his word. And when you see something he has placed before you and you take hold of it and you cleave to it, then he is your life. He becomes your strength. He becomes your health. He becomes your finances. He becomes the glory. He becomes the blessing. He becomes everything in your life. So what's going on out there in that other world, out there in that black world, that dark world out there, that don't mean a thing in the world to you. You don't even live in that world. Why? You cleave to him. He is your light. Hallelujah. All glory. Amen. Now, let's take another very, very important step in this. Every choice. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, or you have absolutely no excuse. That I have already set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life. Every choice, every day, falls either under blessing or the curse. It falls either under life or death. There's no in between here. It's not kind of, well, maybe who, nah, nah. No. And there is no such thing as a choice that is so small that it has no consequence. No such thing. Well, yeah, Brother Copeland, but I didn't know. Well, that's your fault. Yeah, but see, Brother Copeland, when I was in college, they all told me this is just a bunch of stuff. That's your fault. How come you go to school there in the first place? Well, Mama wanted me to. So you chose what Mama wanted. Well, yeah. God said, I have set before you. I've heard Brother Keith preach a number of outstanding messages on that. He and I have discussed it at length. The natural way of things. And I'm talking about Christian people. I ain't even talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians bound up in religious correctness and all of that. Tradition and all those things. Well, you know, I believe that we can, you know, we can be whatever we want to be. Who told you that? Well, after all, I mean, we're Americans, you know. No, you're not an American. You're a Christian. And thank God you live in America. But America's not the final word for you. It isn't America that gave you life. Thank God for this nation. Don't misunderstand me. Oh, glory be to God. I'm telling you, I'm so glad I was born here. If I hadn't have been born here, I'd have come here. I can give you some real encouragement about this nation right now. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
I said I could. I didn't say I would. I am really messing with you tonight. Very, very close friend of ours wrote us a letter a few days ago about a vision that they had received from the Lord. And in that vision, Jesus said this, and it absolutely has marked my future. It just stays right in forefront of my thinking, as ever since the moment I read it a few months ago. He said, the only nation on this planet that was ever set up because the people love me is the United States. He said, now listen, he said, I set up the nation of Israel because I love the people. The United States was set up by people who love me and wanted to worship me, and I will never forget it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. So, the choice. What you choose is what comes to pass. Well, I thought we could just be anything we want to be. No. God has set every member, every one in the body of Christ in their place as it hath pleased Him. And what pleases Him is the most fabulous it could possibly be for you. Amen. So inquire of the Lord what He has set before you. Let me put it to you this way. This is the way it came across to me many years ago, and it helped me as I was crying out to the Lord about it for insight into it. And here's the way the Lord helped me. I had heard from the time I was a little boy about being called to preach. I was raised in a Baptist church, and a good friend of mine said one time, in more Baptists than they are people, but I don't think that's probably right. Jesse Duplantis said everybody been Catholic at least once, and I know that ain't right because I ain't been Catholic yet. But anyway, I had heard about being called of God. I didn't know what it meant. And you know, you hear things when you're a child, and unless you study and get insight into the Word, you'll carry those childish ideas of what that meant maybe all your life if you don't ever learn any better. And I had carried this on into and past the time that I had accepted my calling. And in my mind, to be called to preach meant, hey, you, come preach. That's being called, ain't it? That's what it seemed like to me. And he hollered at me all the time. And even when I tried not to hear it. That's not what that means at all. God calls those things that be not as though they were, and they are. You are whatever He called you before the foundation of the world. And for you to have the joy and the thrill and the wealth and the impact of the glory of God in your life, you need to find out what it is and get at it. Because that's what you were born to do. Amen. Amen. And I don't care what it looks like somebody else. It may look like the most menial thing anybody could possibly do. But I'll tell you what, He can give you. I mean, if God didn't call you but to carry out one can of trash in your whole life, He can make your adventure from the back door to the alley the most wonderful thing that ever happened. I mean, you'd be talking about it for 200 years. Because that's what you were born to do. And that's what God called you. And once you tap into that, oh, nothing else can ever satisfy like that. Amen.
Well, yeah, but Brother Copeland, I'm afraid He just called me to be a janitor. Now, is a janitor going to ever have anything? Dear Lord, I ain't ever going to give it.
That's where you're wrong. That's because you're trying to establish His callings in the light of what the world says, that you are paid according, wages according to making a living. The Lord never had you, told you to make a living.
He didn't?
No. He didn't. He never told you to earn a living. Sometimes, some of you are looking at me like, let me ask you this. Could you earn your salvation? You know better than that, don't you? Could you earn the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Could you earn healing?
No.
Now, the people that act like you can, even though they might say no, they think, well, He would never heal me because I've not done this and I've not done that. It ain't based on what you did or didn't do. It's based on what Jesus did and the fact that He loves you. He didn't heal you because of what you did. He didn't heal you because you got faith. You need faith to make the connection, but He didn't heal you because you got faith. He healed you because He loves you. God so loved the world that He gave Jesus, and your healing's in Jesus.
Yes.
Well, whatever made you think you had to earn your money? You want me to tell you? The world. Religion. Some more religious correctness. I'll keep saying that till some of you get to wondering what I'm talking about. And we might answer it. And for other tapes by Kenneth, no, you don't. Well, I can tell you now, all correctness, whether it's political correctness or whether it's denominational correctness or whether it's religious correctness, whatever it is, all, quote, corrections and correctness is based on the fear of offense. I'm liable to say something that will offend you. Well, now, what difference does that make? Well, it depends on what I'm trying to get off you. The big problem in the church is the fact that preachers were never taught how to receive money from God. And so they depend on people. And they tried to get by for years thinking that we ain't supposed to have any money. And they finally figured out with our lightning fast minds after about 1,000 years that you can't do nothing that God told you to do without money enough to do it. Amen. And so in order for me to have money to do what God called me to do, I got to have two things. One, I got to have people. And two, I got to have somebody in my church with good credit. And of course, I got to put him on the board. That don't make any difference what he believes. Now, I can't say anything that would offend you because you might leave. And then there goes your money. And now I can't do what God called me to do. As if it would do any good if I did.
Amen.
When you're my source. That's what political correctness is, and that's what religious correctness is. So I can't say anything about sin because the guy with the credit rating will leave. Then he can't borrow no money. Now, we never will get anything done if we can't borrow money. So through fear of offense, fear of anything will choke off your faith and separate you from the kingdom of light. Because under this kingdom, we walk by faith and not by fear. Amen? Under this kingdom, think about it now, Jesus represents this kingdom. I don't want to be whatever I want to be. So far, now like I said, I'm only 74, but so far, all the stuff I wanted turned out to be not too hot. And until I knew Jesus, everything I liked was illegal, immoral, or fattening. So that ain't turned out too good, brother. I had to change over and get rid of what I wanted and come over here and let the shepherd begin to rebuild my wants. And he is my shepherd and I want not. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now here, what are we talking about here in the area of wants? Because this gets us right back in it again. I had a guy stop me out in the parking lot of Sears and Roebuck one day. Brother Copeland! And I could tell by the way he said it, this ain't going to turn out nice. I said, how are you, brother? And I thought, you know, maybe I can just ease out of this. But no. He ran up and got a hold of the window of my truck. And he said, I'll tell you right now, the Lord never promised to meet our wants. And I thought, is that why you're mad? He's mad at me already. I said, he didn't? No. You never promised to meet our wants, only our needs. I said, is that right? Yes! Just hollering at me. Had his head almost in my truck, hollering at me. And I said, well, you could have fooled me. Think of that. My. I just read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he looked at me like, like, you know, a calf at a new gate. He don't know whether to go through here or not. He kind of, I said, you never did read that? Yeah, but that ain't what that means. I said, I'll see you later, bud. And he didn't want to let me go. He's going to hang on to my truck, you know. But I ain't got standing time to stand out there in the parking lot of Sears and Roebuck and argue with him. He ain't going to change me, and I can tell I ain't going to change him. Yes. So if he wants to want, well, that's, you know, that's his choice. But his choice comes under the curse. Can you see it?
Yes.
All right, now, what about want? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does it mean to want something? You can want a thing so intensely that you get the idea that all of your joy, all of your happiness, all of your well-being, and everything in your life depends on whether or not you get that thing. If I don't get that car, I ain't never gonna be looked at as anybody. Long as I'm driving this 39 Volkswagen, ain't nobody gonna think I'm anointed. I gotta get me a Mercedes. Well, there's some guys that are driving 39 Volkswagens because they want everybody to think they're anointed. Well, he's just as big a fool thinking that God won't anoint him if he has anything better than a 39 Volkswagen. I ain't never seen a 39 Volkswagen. I think Hitler had one, but I don't want one of them, thank you very much. I never was big on driving bugs anyway, but it ain't based on what you think you need to be doing. It's when you pray and you receive the desire of your heart, glory to God, and you think, Lord, the Bible said he gives us all things richly to enjoy. Now think that through for a moment, because this has to do with your choosing. This has to do with your choice now. Does God give you things to meet your needs?
Yes.
No, he doesn't.
No.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you got it right the first time. Amen. No, think that through. And remember, he said God gives us all, how many things?
All
things richly to enjoy. Now that's why he gives you things. And they meet your needs. So he didn't have needs on his mind. He had your rich enjoyment of life on his mind, and it took care of your needs.
Amen.
And that's the heart of God, brother. But see, now religious correctness don't think like that. It can't accept that. So, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. That word translated sorrow in Hebrew is primarily translated toil. The sorrow that comes from toiling for a living. Being paid only what I can grub out with my own hands. And if I'm an uneducated man and I can't solve huge problems, they ain't gonna pay me nothing. That's a lie. Only 3% of the college graduates ever make a living. Now that ought to tell you something. But you don't very often hear that statistic. Particularly from the tuition board. Who is it then, if God has called me? Somewhere in heaven, there is a life-size poster, a life-size image of me, of what God called me before the foundation of the world. And one of these days, I'm going to, I mean, like it or not, I don't care if I was a believer or not, some of these days, I'm going to have to stand up in front of that thing. Because that's what God called me. And by His grace, looks just like me. But if I don't know His grace and I don't depend on His grace, I will lose face. So it is by faith that it might be by grace. Amen. Are you beginning to see it? The just shall live by faith. If He called me to be His janitor, my big brother, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whom I serve and whose I am, if He needs me the janitor of a church, all I need to know is where is it and how do I get there? Because a janitor can have a jet. Because my wages don't depend on what I do for a living. No, no, I'm not working there for a living. I'm working there out of obedience on assignment. I may be cleaning the church all week long, preaching on the weekends. I asked the Lord one time, well, somebody asked me, he said, I'd like to know what a janitor need a jet for. Well, don't try to answer that stuff. Just look inside, because you really probably don't know any more than I did. But the one on the inside of you knows. I just turned inward right then. He said, depends on what he does on his weekends. If you're preaching all over the world and you ain't got but the weekend to do it, you better get you a jet, brother. And God will get you one. Because He ain't paying you. No, no. You are joint heirs with the King. You have an inheritance, glory to God. To seek first His kingdom. What is His choice? What has He called me? Every choice I make has consequence. When I make a choice, I conceive it, I say it, and I act on it. What I have chosen will come to pass because there is somewhere a King and authority over that choice. And when I make a choice that falls under the curse, when I make a choice that falls under fear, when I make a choice to be something because it'll offend somebody if I'm not, if I make a choice that falls under the curse, I'll guarantee you there's a devil that goes along with it that will see to it that every word of it comes to pass. But when you make a choice, just because the Word said it. The choice of blessing. It may look like you just doomed yourself. No, no. You didn't doom yourself. You just threw yourself out there on the kingdom of God. And when you're out on the kingdom of God, what does the kingdom want? What does the King say? Why do I do what I do? Do I get up in the morning and go to work because I have to buy food for the baby? Well, the poor kid's in trouble. Because he's got a fool for a daddy. I heard a good friend of mine one time, he was chewing his son out, and I have to tell you, he's Cajun boy. And he was standing right there next to me and he turned around. His son, the same age, John, at that time they were both 13 years old. And he had told his son to do something, and I don't know, he didn't do it, whatever it was, or did it wrong or something. And he turned around and he said, boy, if I want to send a fool, I'd have gone myself. You got to be from Louisiana even think that, you know. Praise God. But how much truth there is in that when you look at it from this standpoint. I don't get up in the morning to go to work, to make a living. I get up in the morning to seek first the kingdom of God, to promote the kingdom, obey the kingdom. I don't work for a living. I work on assignment. Yeah. Hallelujah. It don't make any difference what the wages are. What I care. If that's where God wanted me, you know what? All things will be added to me. Hallelujah. Can you see the difference? Ah, yeah.
Yeah, but Brother Copeland, I don't know what he wants me to do. Well, take some time. I can't. I lose my job.
Oh, I see. And now so do you.
Well, I can't take off and find out what God wants me to do, because if I did, I'd lose my job. And what would I do if I didn't have this job? I couldn't make my payments. I'd lose my car. And if I lose my car, I couldn't go out and get me another job. What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
If you don't change this thing somewhere, you're going to keep doing just what you're doing now.
That's right.
Coming home every night saying, what am I going to do? You could get four jobs and never sleep. And you'd still never get there. Because somewhere along the line, when you got that fourth job, aha, I'm making enough money now to go buy me a new boat. That's really going to come in handy. Amen. Particularly if we have another big flood. Now, why do people make decisions like that? Because as long as you seek first the kingdom of darkness, you will think in darkness. Why? Because your choices will command whomever is Lord over the darkness that you just chose. I was in the West Indies. And I didn't know it before I got down there that this group of people had been fasting and praying one day a week for a year for someone to come and show them the Word of God and how to live by faith. And they were off up in the mountains. They were not even in any of the cities. They were up there in the mountains with no contact, hardly at all, with the outside. They just crying out to God. Well, God got a hold of me and I went there. Now, I don't know how many of you have been in the Caribbean at night. It's darker than inside of a barrel, man. I mean, you just can't see anything. And these two mountains, one of them came down almost straight down the cliff here and the cliff from here. I'm talking about big mountains. And they came down where there was just room enough to walk on flat ground, just room enough to walk between those two mountains. And there was a little walking trail that went down through there. And there was only one man in the whole church. And the whole group that came to these meetings, and we had a number of people there that had a flashlight. One guy had a light. Deacon Lewis. And the deacon had a flashlight. Well, now, do you know what that made Deacon Lewis? Biggest man in the valley. He's the only one that could see where he's going. I mean, you could have had a Cadillac. You couldn't have got it in there. But Deacon Lewis had a flashlight. I talked to Deacon Lewis. And he said, Brother Copeland, he said, I found out you were going to be here. And he didn't live there. He lived in either in Kingston or Spanish Town. I don't remember. Spanish Town, I think. Anyway, he said, I quit my job to be in these meetings. I said, you did? Yes, sir. And I said, well, now, did the Lord tell you to do that? He said, well, yeah. He said, I got a witness on it in my spirit, but he didn't have to tell me to do that. He said, I figured... You come here to teach us how to live by faith. He said, I figure I can take my faith and get a better job. He said, what's the use of coming if it won't do that? I thought, yeah, you won't teach this next class? Well, and he was there every meeting. Even when we went to other meetings, he was there. I got a letter then. This is back before email. This is back in the days of snail mail, you know. And I got a letter from him a few weeks later, and he said, Brother Copeland, I just hear him. I just wanted to write and let you know that I now have the best job that I have ever had in my life. And he said, so many things that have happened to me. Oh, please let me know when you come back, because he said, it would thrill me to quit my job again, because he says, this is the best deal I ever got. When I see what had happened, his thinking had gone from making choices in the natural world to making choices in the kingdom world. Why? The one he'd been making choices under was represented by the first Adam, and he fell. He's making choices like him. But this one, now he's making choices that are represented by the resurrected Lord of glory, Jesus himself, the King of the kingdom. And you seek first the kingdom of God and, His what?
Righteousness.
What's righteousness? Huh? It ain't that complicated. You seek first the kingdom of God because He's right. He's right the first time. He don't need to change. And when you find out what he thinks, what he says, what he does, why he thinks, why he says, why he does, where he's going, go with him. Think the way he thinks, talk the way he talks, and you get his results. Why? He's right. He's right. Did your papa ever say to you, boy, you should have done what I told you the first time. You wouldn't have got in that trouble. He said that to me every two or three days. Why? He was right. I wasn't. I thought I knew better than that. Or I just didn't care. But when I did what I thought, I got myself into trouble. And had I done what he said, I wouldn't. Well, that was my dad's righteousness. He was right. His rightness. You seek him first and his rightness, his way of doing things, his way of talking, his way of thinking. It will not bring sadness upon you. It will bring gladness beyond your wildest dreams. Did you ever notice how God lives? Somewhat better than you. Amen.
Amen.
Did you ever notice that without sin, he would have never had a serious thought? It had just been laughter and praise in one party after another. Why? What is there to be serious about if there's no sin? Ain't nobody going to work tomorrow. Why? There ain't no work. Without sin, there never would have been any work. The work and the toiling came from the fall. You ain't getting this. You understand? Did we get anywhere tonight? Let's stand and give the Lord praise and thank him for it. Praise God. Come on, I mean it. Stand up and give the Lord praise. I'm telling you, The next time the devil comes and whispers over in your ear, oh, the Republicans are going to get it. The Republicans are going to get it. And what are you going to do? You're going to lose everything. You're not going to get your pension. You ain't going to get nothing. The Republicans are going to get elected and you're going down the drain. Or he'll come along and say, the Democrats are going to get it again. They're going to get it again. They're going to get it again. And they're going to goof off everything you've got. And instead of you thinking, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do? Oh, what am I going to do now? No, 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 no. You know what the answer to that is? Nothing! I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to relax. And I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to praise God and give Him all the glory. Oh, I seek first the kingdom of God and His rightness. He is right. I don't live in a world dominated by politics. Thank God. That Babylonian system introduced that all those many centuries ago. And that's not where we live. Now, wait a minute. Don't misunderstand me. Well, just forget the politics. I ain't going to vote. Listen, there are people that don't know God that need the gospel preached to them. And if you sit on your hands and you don't vote the way God tells you to vote, you will lose your right to preach. We'll still get it done. We'll still get it done. But our vote is our seed. God is interested in who runs this thing. And as long as He's interested, then I'm interested, because there's more to it than just meeting my needs. Amen. There are people out here that need to hear the gospel. Israel needs to be supported. Hallelujah. And there are certain responsibilities that we have as a nation of people. And I don't know about you, I'm just not interested in just dumping this thing in the devil's lap. No, 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 no. Amen and no again. Why? Because there is coming, and it's happening right now. It's already going on. It's not just coming. What is coming is the growth of it and the expansion of it and the explosion of an awakening to God like this nation and no other nation has ever seen before. And every nation on earth is primed for it right now. And you and I are the key to that awakening, because we know how to pray and believe God. Kibotishti king klikak, kleklomo umblo bukleke, palagromo ninjutske kleklava bubredene, keto kukalama bavrenin in kuklabik stukso pofreni. Balgroma obra bahar gedishtilise sandoka te li burrar ed krunda ochke stala consumskopa pavaridi. Don't just continue to think with your mind that the great awakenings come from the glory flashes that flash across the skies. And oh yes, that's part of it. But the biggest manifestation, the greatest manifestations are among the people. And it's when you are listening to me and you and you and you and you have manifestations of the glory on you and you are moved from place to place supernaturally and you come in and go out in ways and places that naturally thinking people can never understand. Ah, but they know you were there. because it is even occurring now, and it will grow, and it will grow, and it will grow, and more and more and more of you that yield to my spirit and put my plans first and seek first the kingdom of God, you will begin to be used in ways you never even thought of before. There are debts and consequences in your life that'll just disappear. Supernatural debt cancellation will just occur. Because there are ways and places that I need you. Ways in which I need you to function and places where you need to be. And you don't have to have a $2-4 million airplane to get there. If you yield to me, I can have you there in the twinkling of an eye. Many of you would already be walking in that had you listened to me, and you know it. You knew there was something stirring on the inside of you, but you just didn't have time to pay attention. No, you're too busy making a living. I plan for you every day. I come to your place every day. I'm waiting for you at your breakfast table every morning. I'm there every day. I'm there every night. I'm there with you on the job. I am in you and on you and with you, and I never leave you nor forsake you. And I am there all the time to share my word with you, to teach you and train you, lead you, guide you, show you things to come. But no, you're too busy. You have to make a living. Listen to my voice. Take some extra time. Get up early. Take the time. I'm not talking about hours and hours and hours. Start out with 20 minutes a day. That's less than a tithe of your time. A tithe of your time would be 1/10 of 24 hours. If you just give me that, I'll change your very existence.
Amen.
Ah, I can teach you more in 1 week than you could learn in 100 years. Without my spirit, you can't learn anything in 1,000 years. But with me, we can get this thing done, brother. And I'm longing for you, and I'm calling for your time. For the time has come. The last days are here. And the final moments of the last days are here. I need you. You think you just need me. No. Of course you need me, but I need you. I need you full of my glory. I need you full of faith. I need you healed and well. I need you strong in the word, strong in the spirit, and I need you strong in your health. And I need you rich. I need you to have money enough to do what I tell you to do. I don't need you in debt. I don't need you obligated to people that don't even know me. No, no. Pray. Seek my face. I'll show you plans. I'll give you ways. But not only that, I'll supernaturally rid you of that debt. I'll get it off of you. I will deliver you from the clutches of darkness. Me. We're headed to glory. Follow me, saith the Lord. We're headed to the rapture of the church. Follow me. We're headed into awakening. Follow me. And I will show you things to come. And I'll write your name among the stars. And I will show you things that generations before you never even dreamed of. I'm looking. My eyes go to and fro throughout the earth, seeking for those to whom I may show myself strong. Amen. So rejoice and be glad, for these are the days that I have chosen, and these are the days for you and for me, saith the Lord. And together we will get it done. Yeah. So give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Many of you, I called you to preach my word and walk in my offices of ministry when you were a young child. And now you think you're too old. No, no, you're not old in my sight. It's never too late with me. That's called grace. And that's called faith. I love you. And I will account it to you as though you had never missed a day. For I am the God of grace. I am the God of your future. And I will bring your future to a brightness that only heaven can understand. Satan has no idea what brightness is all about. The last brightness he knew was moments before he fell. And he lost his brightness, and he lost his wisdom, and he lost his anointing, and he doesn't even have any remembrance of it, because he will never know it again. There is no redemption for him, because he had no tempter, and he will spend the rest of eternity without a future. But your future's bright. Your future's filled with glory. I have my hand on this nation, and it will go the way I say, and none other, saith the Lord. It will not fall to socialism. You put it in your book tonight, and don't you forget. Brother Keith, come help me, please.